How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am feeling better. Vegas is starting, the effects of Vegas are starting to subside a little bit, so that's kind of nice. Although the Dodgers losing to the Cubs tonight wasn't exactly great for the psyche. But I do have Harrison here. He has a hot take to get to a little bit later. We are going to draft dodgeball teams right before that, and then before we get to the break, we're going to talk about, you know, what these last two games kind of represent. The Lakers are finishing the season on a back-to-back. And, you know, there's still a chance that the Lakers could, you know, affect the tank in these last couple games. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. As always, make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Use those promo codes on SeatGeek, Mack Weldon, and Blue Apron. All right, Harrison. Why don't you walk us through the scenarios as far as what the effect is that the Lakers could have, and then we'll kind of discuss how I actually feel about it, because I don't know if how I feel about it matches how you feel about it.
Okay, well, so if the Lakers obviously could go 1-1, but that's boring. We're going to talk about extremes here. And so if the Lakers win their final two games of the season, then they'll finish with 27 wins, which would be the most they've had since D'Antoni, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, well, it was more than the last coach had in any of his years. And so, yeah, it would be the most they've had since D'Antoni. But it would guarantee that they'd finish with the third worst record in the NBA instead of having a chance to tie for second. And that would leave them with a 46.9% chance to keep their top three protected lottery pick. If they lose their last two games and Phoenix wins, then they will tie for the second worst record in the NBA and split lottery balls. And I guess that covers the two scenarios, right? And the Lakers, their final two opponents, they're going to play New Orleans tonight, and they're going to play Golden State tomorrow night. Phoenix will play the Sacramento Kings tonight. So we will know by the end of the night if the Lakers have a chance to tie the Phoenix Suns for second.
It's also worth pointing out that the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr said that, you know, he plans on playing, you know, the guys who matter for the Warriors, the Steph Currys, the KDs, the whatever, on the last night of the season. It is a home game for the Warriors. So I think that's what kind of goes into that decision. And then the Lakers tomorrow night, I believe Anthony Davis might be out. Or no, he sat tonight. How'd that go? But either way, there's a chance where Boogie and Anthony Davis sit out tomorrow night's game or tonight's game by the time everybody's listening to this. So that matters, I guess, as well. Although, are the Warriors or the Pelicans still better with only one of those guys in the lineup than when they have both of them? Because I think that was like a stat for the vast majority of their time playing together.
I have not looked at the net ratings between just one of them versus when both of them are on the floor, but I would imagine anecdotally that is still true.
Yeah, I feel like if that would have corrected itself, then we would have seen somebody.
It would have been a bigger storyline.
Yeah, somebody would have tweeted out, and we would have seen that it corrected itself. So that's an odd thing to keep an eye on. And And for those of you who, you know, are pie-in-the-sky enthusiasts, if that doesn't continue to work out very well between Boogie and Davis being able to coexist in the front court, that means Boogie is going to be just another guy who the Lakers could, I guess, hypothetically target, though he makes a lot less sense because the Lakers already have such a logjam in the front court. But still,
and hey, and then a couple years after him, Anthony Davis is a free agent, and maybe they could work better in LA together.
That would be disappointing.
I'm just that's what Photoshop Jersey Lakers Twitter wants to happen.
I do like how I wrote a pretty scathing article about New Orleans, and then there was some guy who was going to write like a rebuttal to everything that I said, and then I never saw it. So I'm going to take that to mean that there was no rebuttal and everything that I said made perfect sense. And New Orleans does suck as a franchise.
It's over.
Yeah, I win. Mic drop, mofo.
So I think we've covered the scenarios, though. What do you want to see happen?
I want them to win out. Like, I mean, they aren't going to win out. They aren't going to beat the Warriors in Oakland in the last game.
And also, D'Angelo Russell may not play. Since the last podcast have learned that he flew home to be with his family. Uh-huh. He will most likely miss tonight's game and will, I would imagine, would miss Wednesday's as well. But we'll see.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the Lakers, if they, I guess now that I'm remembering that Russell isn't playing, then that means I care just a little bit less, right? Because I don't want to see Tyler Ennis play well, because I don't want him to like give the Lakers any inclination that he's worth taking a longer look at next year.
They're gonna re-sign him to a long-term deal. I think it's clear what the solution is: point guard of the future, Tyler Ennis.
Dude, there was that one guy in my mentions. Did you see that?
No.
Some guy in my mentions was like, hey, if the Lakers lose their pick or if they keep their pick or something along, it was like the absolute darkest timeline. And it involved making Tyler Ennis the starting point guard, moving D'Angelo Russell to the shooting guard, and bringing Jordan Clarkson back off of the bench. And
I'm going to go ahead and say, no, that is not what the Lakers should do.
Yeah, I would agree. I saw red. I went to a dark place.
But thank you for listening.
I think it was just a random like Twitter guy, so I don't know.
Oh, if he okay. Actually, well, then never mind. If you don't listen to the show, then I don't thank you.
Yeah. But how about you? How do you feel about it? I guess I just don't care.
I'm feeling fairly ambivalent as well. I mean, a lot more of this will matter once we figure out if it even like makes a difference if they lose out. Because if Phoenix loses against the Kings tonight, then it doesn't matter. Like the Lakers can do whatever they want, and you know, it's good to see them win when the young guys play well. And so ultimately it's kind of it doesn't matter. Like if Phoenix loses, then sure, of course you want to see the Lakers win both of those games if you're looking for the franchise to be good, because it means that you can just kind of take solace in those wins, take solace in the young guys playing well. But if Phoenix wins against Sacramento on Tuesday, which isn't out of the question,
nope,
then I would say you kind of should root for them to lose, especially like you mentioned with Russell out. I mean unless you're getting absolutely transcendent performances from these young guys, the team is just so much better off losing and keeping the two first round picks, even though I know I just argued for that, like, people shouldn't be upset about the win the other night when Russell hit the buzzer beater, and I still believe that they should not be upset about that one, because the other games mathematically counted the same. There were other games that you should be angry about before you get angry about that one. But I think if the Lakers have a chance to up their odds to keep this pick, then you kind of have to root for them to do that, at least in my opinion.
But even then, though, like, it was one thing when the percentage difference was, you know, going from, what was it, 56 or 55.6 or whatever it was, to 46.
55.8 to 46.9. Yeah, now it would be going to about 40, from 46.9 to like 51-ish.
Yeah.
So I get that. I mean, if you can't bring yourself to root for the Lakers to lose for that small increase in lottery percentage, then I get it.
Yeah, I guess I've had so much, like, this is now, what, 3 years that we've gone through this at the end of every single year. And I just, yeah. I'm really sick of, like, even if it is Tyler
really Ennis, kind of four, because I think people were rooting for those D'Antoni Lakers to lose by the end of the that year, too. There was, like, the inklings of Team Tank was starting to form.
Yeah, I guess maybe. I guess, but what annoys me is, because I don't see a scenario where, like, Ingram isn't going to be playing, you know, that, you know, 28 minutes or so, right? So if he's going to be playing 28 minutes, I want to see him play well. And if it's, you know, Larry Nance Jr., who, you know, small sample size, but apparently the defense is worlds better with him.
Ingram has been on a minutes restriction, and he's only played, I just checked really quickly, but he's only played 22.3 minutes per game over his last five.
Yeah, so, I mean, if that continues, then okay, fine, because I don't really care about Corey Brewer.
The 6 minutes a game makes that big of a difference to you?
Yeah, like, because it's just, it's more time for him to be out there, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I guess, I think it was Reed NBA, at Reed underscore NBA.
Yeah, really good follow.
Make sure you guys are following him. He's really good. He's really smart. But he tweeted out about the Lakers' defense improving with Larry Nance Jr. in the starting five. And basically in place of Ivica Zubac or whoever it might be. But apparently it's taken a pretty nice uptick in a small sample size, granted. And against somewhat inferior teams because they care a hell of a lot less at this point.
And the Lakers have been winning. So that's going to make your metrics look a little bit better.
Yeah, but apparently, like, I'd like to see that trend continue as long as possible, because I do think, like, if the Lakers are going to have their version of, like, the small ball, switch everything, get out and run lineup that the Warriors like to go to, then it's probably going to feature Larry Nance Jr. being, you know, I guess this team's version of Draymond, even though you and I both hate hearing that kind of thing. So, like, those, just those little...
Well, no, him and Randall are both the Lakers' Draymond.
Yeah, that's fine. And I mean, unfortunately, that means that Steve Kyle is going to hate both Randall and Nance Jr., but...
They might both start kicking dudes in the balls. Like, yeah. that would be bad news for the Lakers, because then you're getting double suspensions and, you know...
You got to play 3-on-5. Like, Vivek wouldn't even sign up for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the 5 or 6% of whatever it might be isn't enough for me to, you know, get to freak out. I'm also pretty sick of, like, the mentions in my, you know, after every single game, especially recently, you know, the whole, oh God, Lakers are stupid, and the stupid think pieces that, like, people think they're clever with, but we've seen 5 different iterations of the same damn article. Like, come on, guys, let's move on. Phoenix beat the Thunder the same night that I think it was Richard, oh, what's his name, from the Ringer, wrote his article, his version of the Lakers are suck at tanking thing too. So, like, I don't know, just be more clever. But that kind of ends my disjointed riff on that.
Okay, well, so I guess we're on opposite sides of this, kind of. I think I'd like to see them, or at least I think it would be better for them to lose a little bit more than you do.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's mathematically speaking, you're right. Like, you know, if we were to actually take score of this thing, logically speaking, pragmatically speaking, you're correct. I'm so sick of this discussion, you know?
Yeah, I get it. And, like, I get anybody who's tired of rooting for their team to lose. Like, I wrote a piece last week saying that fans shouldn't have to root for their team to lose. Like, if you're fatigued by that, I understand.
Mm-hmm. All right, so on the other side of this, Harrison and I are going to debate about the Lakers' abilities in dodgeball. I wrote a quick little thing on Silver Spoon and Roll about it. If you guys want to go check that out, but
because for context here, the Lakers played dodgeball to end their final practice of the season.
Yeah. So shouts to Luke. Like, that's a good look.
That's a real substitute teacher move. That's yeah. Pretty sweet.
Yeah. All right. But before we get to that, we're gonna take a quick break here. And just give a quick overview of what's going to come as this season, you know, kind of crawls to a close here, mercifully. Basically, Harrison and I are going to be right back here. We're going to find new ways to talk about it, but we do kind of need your help. We'd like to see how creative our audience can be in this kind of situation. So send us any and all questions that you have. Harrison's on Twitter at HMFagan. I am on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You could reach out to Silver Screen and Roll Lake at Lakers SBN. But the issue with that is that that's a lot, you know, the notifications on that are a lot more busy. The best way, I would say, the far and away best way to reach the show is by sending an email to LakersLockedOn@gmail.com or follow us on Facebook and send us a message there. Those are the two ways that I can pretty much guarantee you we're going to see either of those messages. So send us that stuff, and we'll kick off this off season on a high note as soon as it becomes the off season. All right, and we're back. We're going to talk, like you said at the beginning or before we went to break, Harrison, Luke Walton pulled basically, this is like the anti-last coach, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that there is no scenario. Could you imagine?
Or at the very least, he would have made the team dodge wrenches.
Well, somebody, I think it was the SB Nation Jazz blog, said that, like, Jerry Sloan would do this with medicine balls. I thought that was really funny. But could you imagine also Kobe's face if they said we wanted to play dodgeball? Like, either
he somebody would have died in that gym.
Yeah, either he would have said, no, F this, I'm not going to play, or he would have actually killed somebody with a dodgeball.
Because they blindsided him.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody, like, he would have caught, Tyler Ennis would have been buried. Is the new facility, like, is there any, like, fresh dirt that they could have put Tyler Ennis?
Kobe could find some.
and the Lakers, because of their relationship with Kobe, would probably cover that up. So, I'm kidding. I'm not reporting that. That is a joke. But I do think it'd
I'm
be
not
a,
touching that.
I do think it would be a fun exercise if we went through the Lakers roster and we just kind of drafted. Now there's an even number of guys, so we'll just draft until somebody doesn't get selected. And I think it'd be funny to have somebody not get selected in this exercise as well, with the ultimate offense.
If there's an even number of guys, how would one guy not get selected?
There's an odd number. There's an odd number.
Oh, okay.
There's 15 guys on the roster, right? Did I say even?
You said even.
No, it's late. There's an odd number of guys on the team. There are 15 guys.
We already know who the real last pick was, courtesy of Larry Nance Jr. on his live stream chat today. It was Nick Young.
Aw, they actually picked teams?
Yeah. According to Larry, Larry was third overall, and then he stopped and he just said Nick Young was last.
That's pretty great. All right, so I'm going to pull up a roster here. Harrison, let's go ahead and – how do you want to – do you want first pick or do you want second pick? And then we'll just – you know, we'll do the normal snake thing.
So if I go second, then I get the next two, and then we start alternating one each?
Yeah.
I'll go second.
All right, so I have the first pick overall.
Yes.
I'm going with Brandon Ingram.
Okay, interesting choice. Break it down. Why would you pick Brandon Ingram to play dodgeball?
Well, to stay consistent, for one thing, right? Because I wrote that he would be the best player out there in my article or whatever. But for a couple other reasons. We've seen him outlet the ball on a couple, you know, passes, long passes with, you know, a baseball form throw, so I think he has a pretty good arm. He's also insanely skinny, so like small target, that kind of makes sense. And then lastly, he has pretty good big hands, so you got to be able to get somebody who can, you know, if somebody fires one at them, they can catch them and get that other person out. So Ingram is my first pick overall.
Okay, so I'm ready with my next two picks.
Mm-hmm.
And with pick number two, I'm going to take Corey Brewer for similar reasons that you took Ingram, because he's skinny enough that he could probably turn sideways and not be seen anymore. Mm-hmm. And I would argue he probably runs more than Ingram does.
Ooh. Corey Brewer like is always stuck in turbo mode, so I actually kind of, but I would.
Yeah,
I,
it's like a sneaky good pick.
Yeah, but the only thing I'd be kind of concerned about is like I could see Brewer getting like overly excited and running into all kinds of people on his team.
Or yeah, like running across like the dividing line and getting a violation just because he can't slow down.
Yeah, or just like running at absolute full speed, getting pelted in the head and just be like, I would think he would be the funniest guy to get out because he would be running full sprint when he got out.
Okay, and then my next pick is actually another surprise one, Meta World Peace. Just because I think the young Lakers have enough survival instinct to not peg Meta World Peace with dodgeball.
That's a good point. That's a good one. I mean,
like I'm just saying, like, I would not want to be the one that tested if Meta was taking this as a game.
You know, I think when Meta first got arrived in LA, I think it was on Twitter, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think I'm right. He actually organized a dodgeball game out there at one of the beaches out near L.A.
I remember him doing, like, football and stuff. I don't remember dodgeball.
Ooh,
but
you know, you might be right with the football then. But I do know that, like, he was a pretty good sport about it. And I do think he regrets the Malice at the Palace, so I don't think he wants stories coming out of, like, him.
Oh, stories wouldn't come out. We just – that Laker would mysteriously disappear.
All right, so I'll make my next two picks. I'm going to go with David Nwaba.
Wait, you get the next two? I thought you got the next one.
No, it's like snakes back and forth.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I'm going with David Nwaba, and I'm going to go with Jordan Clarkson.
Those are good picks.
Yeah, both those guys, they're of slight frame. They're both really good athletes. And I think Nwaba looks like he could fire the ball. Like, I don't really trust Clarkson's arm per se, but I don't think very many people are going to be able to get him out. Like, he's just such a good athlete that I think he's going to be tough to get out. And again, I think he can catch the ball too. And he was – the one thing that made me a little nervous about it was, you know, I don't know if, you know, he maybe got a memo or anything about what they'd be doing in practice. But if he did and thought that what he was wearing would, like, camo in that gym – then I'm a little concerned about his concept of camouflage. All right, you got the next two picks.
Okay, so with my next two picks, I'm going to go D'Angelo Russell because with his kind of passing and stuff, I think he could.
He's
like,
got an arm.
We already know the Lakers bigs can't catch his passes, and so I don't think they're going to catch them in dodgeball either. I think Russell is like ready to get some revenge for all the missed assists he's had this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go Russell. And then I'm also going to go Zubats because I don't think anybody wants to hit Ivica Zubats. Like, I think you'd feel bad.
Oh, like, so it's not like the meta thing where
it's not like the meta thing where you're afraid to, but it's like, I mean, why do you want to peg him in the head? Like, that's messed up.
Wait, why are you automatically hitting people in the head? You were that kid in school, huh?
I mean, technically, headshots didn't get somebody out, but I'm not saying I never threw any headshot.
All right, so I'll go with I'm going to go with Julius Randle because again, I think he has like a legit arm. Like, I could see Randle being able to really do some damage with a dodgeball.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Thomas Robinson for some of the same reasons that I would not want to hit Meta World Peace. I would not want to hit Thomas Robinson with a ball.
Yeah, Thomas Robinson. I don't think Thomas Robinson would play around either.
He's. Where would you put him as far as like athletes on the team? I think he's an underrated athlete on the team because like lately
on the team.
Yeah, like he's been able to like get out and dribble and transition and stuff, and it kind of takes you by surprise when he gets out and dribbles.
He's top five for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so I kind of like those two guys, Randle and I actually Randle has dad strength too, so that's even scarier for the balls that are potentially going at people's heads.
Yeah, all right, that's fair. All right, so we got a little bit of slim pickings now.
Yes.
Although I'm going to go Larry Nance Jr. because if the Lakers took him third in their actual draft, then maybe they know something I don't. So I'm gonna go. Plus, he, you know, seems like a good teammate. I think I'm gonna go Larry.
Good teammate. I also think with Larry, he has that kind of attitude where he would enjoy it just a little too much to be able to hit like Zubats in the head.
Yeah. So you got to get him on your team.
Yeah. Like
once you have Zubats, and he's gonna protect his son.
Yeah, he will. Dad strength. You had to offset Randall's dad strength.
Yeah, that's true. So we got them on the same team, get those fatherly protective instincts going.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's not a lot left. I'm going to go with him. No, I don't want to go with him. I'm going to go Tyler Ennis.
Oh, frick. I was hoping you would overlook him.
Yeah, I'm going to go Ennis.
All right. And I'm only going to, cuz we can only have even teams, right? We're down. No, we have enough to have three.
Yeah,
more
you
picks,
said
right?
There'd be an odd number.
Right. So you have the final pick in this? Where are we at? How many guys are on both teams?
Right now I have 6 and you have 5.
Okay. Wow, so we still have plenty of guys to draft then. All right, so we got I'll go Luol Deng and you know what? I'm going with Nick Young. He was the last pick today for some reason, but I could kind of see the Lakers kind of messing with him a bit and making him the last pick, like on purpose, colluding a little bit to kind of needle him, you know, kind of make him do like.
You're
suggesting
come on, they're
guys.
Colluding in dodgeball drafts.
Yeah, yeah, but I could kind of see it. Like I could see the captains kind of, you know, both kind of wink, wink, and make sure we needle Nick Young potentially in the last practice that we have with him. So.
I think Luol Deng can use his bags of cash to block the balls.
Money, like sandbag it.
Yeah.
Actually, like flood, you know, just
puts
like.
Puts down like cover of like like bags of cash.
Well, we were talking about camo, right? So maybe he could just like use his just random things of cash to make it look like an actual.
Like as a, he could throw it all over the floor and then like tape dollar bills to himself and it's like a ghillie suit.
Oh man, I would hope that Deng and Mozgov would be the first two guys out. Like both teams just
no.
Agreed.
See, okay, so you left me with Mozgov, but this is actually what I was hoping for, and let me tell you why. We uncovered the stat earlier in the year. The Lakers were undefeated when Mozgov got hit in the face. So I'm curious to see if that transfers to dodgeball.
Oh man. Like his whole team props him up out front. like Mozzie, you're making way too much money. You're not even playing anymore. Just stand out front.
And then somehow you left me Tarik Black, who you had as one of your higher rated players on the team.
I regret that.
Who's like a really good athlete, could probably throw pretty hard. So I'm liking my team a little bit more. Plus I have 7 guys. So
yeah. Yeah. So it's a 7-6 advantage.
Or wait, I have 8 guys. My bad.
Oh, so it's 8-7.
We can do math. We definitely know how to do math.
Yeah. Well, you're the Spock one. You should be better at this.
I don't.
All right. So what Harrison's going to do is he's going to screen grab the teams that we just drafted. Maybe we'll put a vote out there whose team people like more. And
whichever one of us wins gets the other one's paycheck this month. I'm just kidding.
I'm actually doing math as far as like what sponsor.
Okay, we need to move on. We spent too much time on Lakers dodgeball, I think.
Yeah, I would probably agree. All right, so we're gonna wrap this up. Harrison, this is the second to last show that you're gonna be doing
of the regular season. Yeah.
So this is gonna be the last hot take of the regular season. Harrison was pretty proud of this one, so let's go out on a high note.
All right, Anthony, I'm hearing a lot about the epidemic of resting young stars. Really resting any stars in the NBA, and I've had it. I've had it with this rest issue, and you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Who are you talking about?
Mozgov and Deng, the Lakers' two most highly paid players. That's $136 million that you have sitting on the bench. What even is that? If you're just going to rest like your two most highly paid superstars, why are fans even paying to get in the building? What do you tell children? Like, oh, I'm sorry, little Timmy. I know your dad drove you here for 5 hours on your birthday, and you wanted your one chance to see Timo this year, but the Lakers have him on the bench. Like, I don't think that's fair to tell children.
Did you name the kid Timmy because of Timo?
Maybe.
Like, that's the only reason that kid would want to see Timofey Mozgov is because they might share parts of the same name.
I don't know about that, Anthony, but I just know that this is a shameful display of tanking. I've seen a lot of writers and a lot of media people up in arms about it, and I'm right with them. What happened to the Lakers brand? I thought they were about winning.
I mean, I feel like they've been better without those guys in the lineup.
The NBA is a superstars league, Anthony, and the NBA, they sell these superstar matchups when teams are on national TV. Just think of all these disappointed national TV audiences that tune in. Like, they just want to see Mozgov and Deng take on whatever team the Lakers are playing that night, and they just find they just see that those guys got a DNP Lakers brand is dead.
All one word?
Yeah, all one word.
I feels like there'd be a scoring
issue. I watch this stuff, and I can't help but think. Are you a Game of Thrones fan, Anthony?
I am. Who isn't?
Spoiler alert, but somebody should be following Magic around like he's Cersei and just ringing a bell yelling, shame, shame, shame for resting these guys. You just can't sit superstars for no reason and give the team absolutely zero chance to win. I don't see how the Lakers are going to win any games without those guys. I mean, I saw a friend, now friend of the show, because I'm saying it right now, Chris Mannix of The Vertical, compare this to the to Tim Donaghy fixing games. And I know you know what I'm going to say, Anthony, but I'm sorry. That take is softer than Jeremy Lin. He did not go far enough. NBA superstars like Mozgov and Deng have way more influence on a game than a renegade ref ever could by sitting inarguably their two best and most highly paid players. The Lakers are basically just guaranteeing losses.
I still think, though, that they're better without those guys in the lineup.
Yeah, I don't know, Anthony. I just know that despite this four-game winning streak, I don't think the Lakers are going to win any games when they're this blatantly tanking like this, and it's just shameful. And it's the worst thing I've ever seen in NBA history as far as tanking goes. It's worse than Madsen shooting threes. It's worse than the Sixers process. It's worse than Meta World Peace getting minutes in an NBA game this year. Well, actually, that was the Lakers. But the Lakers should be ashamed, and everyone near them should be too. Fagan out.
Wait. Come back.
Okay, I'm back.
I'm dying. I should not be drinking this wine while you're calling Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng superstars. But, all right. Would you say then that jersey sales is a pretty good representation of the displeasure that people might have with people sitting out? Or like it's a good representation of how popular a player might be?
I don't know where you're going with this, but sure.
So I just Googled Luol Deng jersey sales. I can't even find Lakers jerseys here on eBay. And there's a Deng Heat one for $9.99. There's a Deng Bulls one for $9.99. Lakers ones.
I don't think the Lakers sell his jersey at their Staples Center shops. I saw Mozgov jerseys when I was there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I think, you know, that kind of hurts your claim that, you know, they're that popular.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just poked a huge hole in my very previously flawless theory that definitely was parody in zero ways.
Other than that, I agree with every single word you said there.
Especially, also, by the way, can we – like the Knicks don't even sell Sasha Vujacic jerseys at the Garden. That's more disgraceful than anything I just yelled about.
That is pretty bad. Somebody get Harrison a Sasha Vujacic jersey, just ironically or not ironically, I guess for Harrison's sake.
Yeah, I mean, all the whatever reason they want to give it to me, I'm just, you know, no, I don't want to ask for anything, but I'm just saying I wouldn't send it back.
I gotta stop talking because I'm not even kidding. You choked me up calling Luol Deng and Timofey Mozgov superstars.
So. All right, well, I'll just tweet out your address after the show, and people can send whatever they want there.
Yeah, sounds good to me, boss. But that does it for this episode. That was the final Harrison's hot take, and he very nearly killed me with it. So
I nearly killed myself with it. My throat is, yeah, I'm in some pain too. I apologize to both of us.
It's been a long season. Yeah. We have two games here. By the time everybody's listening to this, we will be on the morning of, I would imagine, the last two games of the season. Let's finish strong. Let's finish strong. We spent a lot of time on dodgeball, and then Harrison tried to kill me here with this episode.
We have so much left to talk about. Please stick with us.
Yeah. It does get more interesting as soon as this season ends. Like, it really does.
Well, yeah, because then, I mean, we're going to get from the guys, we're going to hear what they want to work on during the off season at their exit interviews, and then we're going to start to get to talk about what the actual plan is, because we'll know where they finished, and we'll know, like, how good of a chance exactly they have to keep their pick. We'll know kind of what it's, just how things look a little bit more than we do right now.
Yep, I would agree. So everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. I will be on Silver Screen and Rolls thing, tweeting out the game. Harrison, you really almost killed me.
Yeah, same here, man. We should sign off.
All right, we'll talk to everybody soon.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.